What if everything you've been told about hygiene is wrong? A Harvard-trained doctor stopped showering 5 years ago, not as a stunt, but as a profound experiment in understanding our obsession with cleanliness. His skin didn't revolt. He didn't become a social pariah. Instead, he discovered something unsettling. The trillion-dollar hygiene industry might be solving problems it created. Walk into any drugstore and you'll find aisles devoted to cleansing, moisturizing, exfoliating, and protecting your skin. We've been taught that our bodies require constant intervention, that without an arsenal of products, we'd be dirty, smelly, and socially unacceptable. But our ancestors bathed occasionally in rivers, and somehow humanity survived. The difference isn't biology, it's marketing. The modern hygiene industry didn't emerge from medical necessity, but from clever entrepreneurs who transformed soap from a homemade staple into a daily essential, creating insecurities to sell solutions. This shift represents more than commercial success. It reflects a fundamental misunderstanding of how our bodies actually work. Our skin isn't a sterile barrier requiring constant sterilization, but a living ecosystem hosting trillions of beneficial microbes. When we aggressively wash away these microscopic allies, we may be undermining the very health we're trying to protect. The question isn't whether we should abandon hygiene entirely, but whether we've gone too far in our war against the natural world, including the natural world living on our skin. Your skin hosts about a billion bacteria per square centimeter, hundreds of species forming complex communities as diverse as any rainforest. These aren't invaders, but partners that feed on dead skin, produce protective compounds, and communicate with your immune system. The face mite, Demodex, inhabits all adult humans, living in hair follicles and potentially cleaning out cellular waste. Certain skin bacteria even produce substances that protect against skin cancer. When we strip away these microbial communities with harsh soaps and hot water, we're dismantling carefully balanced ecosystems. The microbes return quickly, but repeated disruption allows harmful species to dominate. Dermatologists increasingly see patients with dry, itchy, inflamed skin from overwashing. The solution isn't more products, but often fewer, washing only underarms, groin, and feet while leaving the rest of your skin's ecosystem intact. Until the late 1800s, most people made harsh soap at home from animal fat and wood ash. Store-bought soap remained a luxury until Britain repealed the soap tax in 1853. What transformed soap from occasional necessity to daily essential wasn't medical discovery. It was industrial capitalism and brilliant marketing. Chicago became the soap capital by capitalizing on excess fat from its meatpacking industry. Soap companies pioneered modern advertising through illustrated booklets and magazine ads. Procter & Gamble's floating ivory soap was advertised as 99.44% pure, combining religious overtones with purity messaging. As mass production flooded the market, companies distinguished products through increasingly specific claims, eventually sponsoring radio dramas targeting housewives, creating the soap opera. By the 1920s, campaigns promised to maintain your schoolgirl complexion or claimed doctors proved their products could make you more beautiful in 14 days. The industry had transformed hygiene from practical concern into identity marker, where appearing clean signaled social status, moral character, and personal worth. Skincare operates in a regulatory vacuum. Unlike pharmaceuticals, cosmetics need virtually no approval. You could create a brand in your kitchen, combine trendy ingredients, make healing claims, and legally sell it with only FDA address registration. No safety data or efficacy proof required. This fuels explosive growth. Skincare generates over $13 billion annually in South Korea alone, capitalizing on declining trust in conventional medicine. When dermatologists prescribe antibiotics or Accutane that fail or cause side effects, people seek alternatives. Enter clean beauty and Instagram-marketed indie brands. Companies like Glossier achieve billion-dollar valuations, positioning themselves against traditional beauty, building communities through influencers. They emphasize being clean and cruelty-free while incorporating trendy ingredients like charcoal, peptides, and stem cells, despite dermatologists identifying many as meaningless hoaxes. When journalists criticize the industry, backlash is fierce. Consumers defend their experiences, feeling dismissed. This reveals something important. Many find relief not from active ingredients, but from doing less, avoiding harsh products that disrupt skin's natural acid mantle. Since the 1950s, hay fever, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's disease, food allergies, type 1 diabetes, and asthma have roughly tripled in developed nations. Yet rural farming communities, like the Amish, show remarkably low rates of these conditions. The key difference is farm proximity. Amish children interact directly with farm environments from infancy, exposing them to beneficial microbes. House dust from Amish homes contained 7 times more immune-stimulating compounds and even protected mice from allergic reactions. Asthma rates were 4 times lower and allergies 6 times lower among Amish children. Our immune systems require proper training through early microbial exposure. Without it, they attack harmless invaders or our own cells, causing autoimmune diseases. Modern lifestyles have dramatically reduced these exposures. We spend 90% of our time indoors, obsessively sanitize, consume processed foods, and live in smaller families. This doesn't mean all cleanliness is harmful. Hand washing prevents disease transmission, but excessive cleaning, particularly daily full-body bathing with harsh products, may be counterproductive. Our microbiomes aren't just passengers. They're active participants in our well-being, communicating through an infochemical web we're only beginning to understand. The wellness industry now offers probiotic skincare, bacterial sprays, prebiotic lotions, and microbiome-friendly cleansers claiming to restore beneficial bacteria destroyed by modern hygiene. Some contain live lactobacillus, others feature bacterial lysate, dead bacteria with unclear effects. Prices vary wildly, with minimal evidence distinguishing effective products from expensive placebos. One company sells sprays containing Nitrosomonas eutropha, bacteria they claim modern hygiene eliminated. Their founder famously hasn't showered in 15 years. They've since shifted toward pharmaceutical development, acknowledging most people won't abandon showering. Even Dove now promotes washes caring for baby skin's microbiome, a delicate balancing act selling soap while implying soap is problematic. Researchers are mapping the skin microbiome like cartographers. Different body regions host distinct communities. Moist armpits harbor the highest bacterial biomass, while oily and dry regions support different species. These communities interact with our immune systems and may influence mental health. Yet, while wealthy consumers obsess over probiotic serums, 700 million people lack basic latrines. In Mozambique, half the population lacks safe water, and only 25% of rural schools have restrooms, causing young women to miss school during menstruation. The most urgent global health needs remain clean water, toilets, social connection, and nature exposure, not individualistic self-care products. We've created a paradox: obsessively sterile environments that may be making us sick. The wellness industry sells isolation, elaborate air filtration, antimicrobial surfaces, routines treating our bodies as contaminated. Yet evidence suggests the opposite approach works better. Copenhagen researchers found children in nature-based programs, spending days outdoors regardless of weather, interacting with farm animals, showed greater skin microbiome biodiversity than traditional daycare children. This echoes Frederick Law Olmsted's vision of urban parks as essential public health infrastructure. The path forward isn't abandoning hygiene, but recalibrating it. Wash hands to prevent disease transmission, clean surfaces where harmful bacteria accumulate, but question daily showers, elaborate skincare routines, and antibacterial products. Are they solving real problems or manufactured ones? Your skin isn't a sterile surface, but a living garden. The microbes covering your body aren't invaders, but ancient allies. True cleanliness isn't about elimination, but balance. Not isolation, but connection. Not conquering nature, but remembering we are nature.